comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
To the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around. For some reason, the audio feed has not been working. And let me say that there's nothing I can do when that happens except to work on it while I talk, and that's what I've been doing. I apologize for the audio feed not working. The feed was working, but the feed from the mixer to the computer was not working. And even though I've been sitting here and talking, you weren't able to hear me. But you are able to hear me now, and that's a good thing. Because of that fact, I'll recap some of what I said when we come back. And we'll be back with my guest, Ed Grimsley, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we had some technical gremlins here right at the beginning of the show, so even though I was sitting here talking and people who are watching on television could see me talk, those of you on the radio, you couldn't see me, and so you just experienced dead air. I apologize for that. Gremlins in the mixer. And we have a backup mixer, so while I was talking, I was reaching over and unplugging things and plugging things into the backup mixer, and we're on to the backup mixer now, and everything is okay. Now, what I was saying in that first few minutes, I want to recap because it's important scientific news. You know, we get inundated with all kinds of political information every single day. If you watch talk shows on television, they're almost always about politics. If you listen to talk shows on the radio, they're almost always about politics. But that's okay, because there are people that are political junkies, and they really like it, and that's fine. To each his own. But there are many, many things happening in the world that are not in the realm of politics, but that are excessively important. And two things in science were reported out within the past couple of days. One, scientists have found now, astronomers have found, a planet in a solar system, not our solar system, but in a solar system in another galaxy. Now, we know about around 500 planets that are not in our solar system. But all of those discoveries are in our galaxy. And so this one is not in our galaxy. It's the first one discovered outside of the Milky Way. It's about 20% larger than Jupiter. And then also scientists have been able to isolate and to suspend, at least temporarily, some particles of antimatter. That's important because when antimatter gets exposed to matter, it goes into annihilation. In other words, it just explodes out of existence. And so they've been able to keep that from happening. They've been able to suspend some particles of antimatter. Now, why is that important? Well, you've seen Star Trek, haven't you? And you know they have an antimatter drive for their propulsion system, right? Well, there were scientists who said it probably would never be feasible, because when antimatter is exposed to matter, it explodes. Therefore, how could you collect up enough of it to use it for a propulsion system? And how could you keep it from coming into contact with matter? Well, they've done it. Now, we're a long way from a propulsion system using antimatter, I would suspect. But that's the first step, and that's a big step. My guest this evening is Ed Grimsley. Ed Grimsley is someone that is known to most of you as the night vision guy. A lot of people around the country know him as the night vision guy. He runs into people that say, "You're that night vision guy, aren't you?" And he's really, really brought the use of night vision. He's really brought it to the fore in terms of UFO research and investigation. Ed, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. It's nice to be back.
Ed, now it's been a while since you've been here on the show. Although you and I have been in touch, we've talked on the telephone some, it's been a while since you've been here, and we want to get a little bit of an update, but before we do that, let me say, you know, when you were here last time, you told us about the fact that you had developed your own, or you had gotten your own line of night vision goggles. So include that in the update, because that was brand new last time. Tell us a little bit about that, but give us an update. What's been going on in the world of Ed Grimsley fairly recently?
Well, I basically have discovered a few more things about the war going on in space, and I also have the night vision goggles now, the Skywatch model, that's where we take tubes and we check the tubes ahead of time and see the best ones for the Skywatch type, and use those. And we have a model that can go out of the country now with a high performance tube. It's not the military type, and it does a real good job, and a lot of people are getting those and are pretty happy with them.
And well, let me butt in just for a moment, because some people may not be aware of this. The type of night vision equipment that you were using and that you recommend is restricted. The United States government does not allow it to be shipped out of the country. You can't carry it across the border with you. If you do and you get caught, it's big, big trouble, right?
Yeah, that's it's basically the technology of it. They don't want it to leave, but in reality, the Russians and other countries already have technology. It's good, but you know, the law is the law, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you now have a line of night vision goggles, or they're not goggles, actually. It's more like binoculars.
They're a goggle because they still have two eyepieces, but only one front piece.
Mm-hmm.
That's because you need to use one tube that way. And two eyepieces have to have two tubes. And that makes it more expensive, because the tubes are really the expensive thing in the technology kicker. So.
Okay, so but you have a line now that's high grade, good enough to do what you do with night vision and UFOs, but they can be shipped out of the country.
Right, and we sell them. They've been some to Canada and different countries that the people are just loving them, and they're working out and they're seeing everything they should be, and they're giving me reports on the objects that are out there and what they see, how unbelievable it is, and And it's an amazing thing when people spend some money and they go out and they get the right equipment, and next thing you know is they're calling you and having conference talks with you and telling you what they see and telling you that they can't wait to save up and get another pair. So it's been an exciting road for me because I'm kind of the grandfather of night vision UFO work and letting the world know that it was possible and telling everybody, and now people are getting them and they're falling in line and there's video work going on and it's all over the YouTube and it's pretty amazing. There's some real good stuff on the YouTube. And William Rawlings, which you know, Bill.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have an interview. You remember when I was out in California?
Yeah.
And videotaped an interview with Bill, and that's in our members area in the Video Galaxy. So, yeah, I know Bill.
Yeah, Bill's a super guy, and we pick on him all the time because he's about a foot and a half taller than me, and it's pretty neat to have a guy study you or myself rather, and what I do and what I think, and he does a good job of it. And I've been working with him, and he's going out and hooking up cameras and watching for him. In fact, he talks to him. And I pick on him and laugh at him that he can't baby talk him, but just teasing him, and he laughs it off. But his nephew or his the young boy was out there with him. He said, "You want to talk to him?" And he talked to the craft, and on video they responded, and they're watching them fly, and some of them stopped, and others that were sitting there playing like stars zoomed away when the other ones came close to them. They took off and started flying all the way. So you see a cluster of stars just take off and go all kinds of directions and scatter to get out of there like, we don't want no trouble from the big guy here.
And they're not really stars. They just look like it from
Earth. Yeah, they're a falling star.
Mm-hmm. You taught him how to do the night vision work and what to look for and where to look and so forth, and he's been videotaping. We're talking about Bill Rawlings. He's been videotaping, some of his video has been used by Jaime Maussan down in Mexico, hasn't it?
Yeah, he's been on a number of times and showed him down in Mexico, and his footage is real good and real honest, and there's no games about it. And so Jaime sees that and is doing a good job. And Bill is becoming famous overnight, too. So,
Ed, do you remember the last time you were on, we had a caller who said, you know, look, I'm not being critical. I'm not being I'm just asking a question, but and he said, but you know, you say you see these things with night vision, but you know, how come we don't ever see? You can't see them without the night vision. And I said, you can. You can see them with the naked eye. You can see them better with night vision. And I said, if you just go out, get out away from all the city lights and everything, and just lay down and look up at the sky and just watch the sky for a while on a clear night, you will see these things moving around up there.
You'll see, and your eyes will start to adjust to it. But one of the things that is an awesome deal is that if you learn how to use the night vision goggles and your eyes adjust to the night vision and that, if you don't have a pair of goggles on and you relax your eyes right and look into the sky, you can start picking up things that you couldn't pick up before because your eyes start responding similar to having night vision on. And it works, and you got to work at it. And But, you know, some of these things, it was colored dots and different patterns and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you relax your eyes and you looked into them, all of a sudden you could see the picture that was inside of there. And this is a lot like that, along with the stars and the craft.
Well, the other night we had a caller, and I wish I could remember his name. I was so glad to hear this and to hear it, you know, from our audience. But he said, you know, you said if you just go out and look up and keep looking up, you will see these things. And he said, my wife and I, we kind of live out away from the city. And he said, you know, we've got where we just kind of go out and spend a little time in the backyard and just look up. And he said, it's absolutely true. You can see them.
Oh, yeah, they're out there everywhere. That's why I know that NASA has to know, and they're not telling you the truth. So, and don't expect the government to give you acknowledgement what's going on, because they want to keep the truth and the knowledge to themselves so they can keep better control of the citizens. And there's not much truth to what you're being told, so you're going to have to try to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah.
And I've done a good job of it. I know a lot more than I even dare tell.
Well, and it's basically from just being out there and observing them and watching them, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's some things that they do, and you can learn some of what they do and start looking for them to do it, and next thing you know is there they are.
Mm-hmm.
And playing like they're stars is one of their favorite things. There's good-sized spacecraft. They'll be 250 miles or so up, and you'll be going along, and it'll slow up and wobble a little bit and come to a complete stop. And if you're out there long enough and you look a couple hours, you'll see them, you mark them and see them start up, and away they go again.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's like they're laying there just waiting for something to come by and target it.
We, I do want us to get into the thing about you tell us that there is a UFO war going on up there. And I do want us to get into that, but not yet. We're going to take a break in a few minutes, and we'll get into it when we come back from the break. But, you know, when I went to your Skywatch in Sedona, Arizona, I watched you with the naked eye pick them out and use a laser pointer. And with a naked eye, you'd say, okay, there's one right there. That's a big one. That's like a mothership. And you'd point with the laser pointer. And, of course, when you're using night vision, you can see that beam from the laser pointer going up into the sky. You can see that really well. And, you know, you were passing the goggles around. There were several. You had several sets of those, and you're passing them around, and people were ooh and ah and oh my God and so forth. But that's the first time where I personally saw with the naked eye that these things were up there, because you would say, "There's one right there, and it's going to do this, it's going to do that," and you'd point at it with that laser, and with the naked eye, I could see it, and some of them are really moving fast. Some of them really moving slow, and some of them changing directions. But you can see this with the naked eye. It's just that with night vision, you can see it a lot better.
Yeah, and you can also have some add-on magnification tips that'll bring them right in, and you can tell that some of them are oval shape and some are football shape and some are look like a B-1B bomber or the Concorde jet. They're real,
yeah, the Delta
sleek
shape
and big.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really good is when you see three or four flying together, and a couple break off and go one way to another, and they mix with each other, and sometimes they're past each other, and they'll move slightly out of the way of each other and give a little, like, wobble, like, hey, buddy, how you doing kind of thing, and you know, you kind of think they're the friendly ones.
All right, we're going to step away for break. We'll be back with Ed Grimsley right after this, and we will open the telephone lines later in the show, so get your pencil and paper ready to write the number down. We'll be back in just a moment. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Ed Grimsley, the night vision man. Ed, you have, from the very first time that you came on this show, you've talked with us about UFO wars. And yeah. You've told us about how when you were a little kid, you with the naked eye, you saw all of this going on while you were camping, and you saw all this fighting going on between these UFOs way, way, way up.
Yeah, I was 16 then.
You were 16, okay. And then, so you weren't a little kid, you were a young man. But then...
I'm still a little kid sometimes.
Well, I'm 57 and I'm still a little kid sometimes.
And, you are just a kid compared to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're a really old guy, aren't you? I mean, what are you now? You're about 90.
I was in the desert for 40 years until I figured out he was lost.
Oh, mercy. But you've also you've told us about seeing these UFO wars through night vision. You put out a DVD about it. Other people have used your night vision equipment and have seen UFOs shooting at other UFOs. Or it appears yeah. That's what's happening. They see a beam of light go out, and then they see the
well,
other UFO explode.
Reported they've seen the craft blow another one up, and it's definitely for real. You don't see an explosion every night, but if you're out there enough, you're going to see it happening. And
right,
you better be on your toes, because when they battle, they go fast.
All right, now, Ed, I think, I'm not really sure, but I think it was, what, about 3 years ago when you first started coming on this show?
Probably somewhere 2007 or somewhere in there.
Okay. All right, yeah, so about 3 years ago. All right, you started coming on this show, and you've been talking with us about these UFO wars since that time. Is it still going on?
Oh, yes, definitely.
So this is a long, protracted war.
2 nights ago, I had 3 people up, or was it 4 nights ago? But anyway, I had just came back from Minnesota, and... some fans brought me out there and did a show out there, and then they took me deer hunting, and it was kind of a great treat. And Lori and some of her friends out there just treated me really great, and I came back, and then I've did some show, and there was 3 people came out to see, and when they did, I told them about how to keep an eye out for a big flash in the sky and sometimes a capsule or a rescue pod or whatever and a strobe light. And we saw the big flash, and then a moment later there was the strobe light floating along, and it was a capsule. And they don't go quite as fast, but they're whatever speed they get hit at, they are drifting at that speed. And a lot of times you'll see another craft come in and rescue them or try to rescue them, and then there might be another battle going on. So it's still going on, still happening.
So as recently as 3 or 4 nights ago, you observed this.
That's when I just got the glimpse of the one streaking in and firing on the other one, and they got to see it explode. Because I said, they're there, and I put the laser out in that direction, and they glanced to it, and they got to see it. And all of them says, oh, my God, that's unbelievable. Because it looks just like a big firecracker going off in the night, just a big, huge flash. And then when the rescue capsule came back on, it was exactly what I told them it might be. Only problem is I'm fearful that the rescue pod is probably one of our craft that's having that happen. And in turn, it's kind of sad because somebody's getting lost up there and they can't even tell their family they died for this world. I don't know. I just think it's pretty sad and wrong, but maybe someday we'll get it out in truth, and maybe they'll give us a big list of the heroes that have defended our world. So,
well, who do you think they're fighting?
Well, you know, back in Alexander the Great's day, Alexander the Great reported chariots in the sky above them, or in the heavens above, fighting and blowing each other up. And in, I think it was 1561, Nuremberg, Germany, the city reported them fighting in the heavens above, firing beams or rays of light, and blowing one another up. And then in 1961, I saw it. And I had never heard about it before. In fact, I only heard some of the reports after I got known for saying it happens, and then other people have contacted and given me reports about it. And in fact, last year, over Mexico City, some people were looking from their roof, and they contacted me, and there was battling going on in the heavens above them, and they were blowing each other up. And they were using the naked eye, like I had the first time. They were looking at some of the maneuvers and how they broke a certain direction, how they fired on hit-on runs, how they fired out the back going away, and circled to the left in the big battles, and described exactly what I saw in 61. And to me, it could be good against evil. It could be guardians of our world fighting against those that are to be kept out. Or it could even be the good trying to get in and some of ours fighting to keep them out so they got control of us. And there's so many options that if you follow them all down, and each option runs out, it's not a good thing. And they've been out there for a long, long time. And who knows what it is, but I have a feeling that the Creator made them as well as us. And we might look like each other, or we might have joined forces with some of them. It's rumored to be that Adolf Hitler had the Bellcraft and had got some aliens, and there was some aliens that were human-like, and there were some that was basically your definite alien, and that he was working together with them, and I guess one of his goals was for them together to conquer the world. And supposedly around 1938, I think it is, the Germans had recorded that they had actually taken their flying saucers and their craft and went to the moon. and had traveled there and back. And Jose Escamilla is working on a movie right now, The Battle of L.A., that reports about how, during World War II, how the artillery rounds couldn't affect the spacecraft that were floating above. Just numerous rounds fired, and that none of them did any damage. And then they said that later it was a weather balloon.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? Because the U.S. Army fired 1,500 anti-aircraft rounds at this object in the course of about 2 hours. And even though they were, they could see that the rounds, in many cases, should be scoring direct hits on this thing, it had no effect on it. And then they later said, it was a balloon.
Yeah. Well, it just goes to show you that they've been lying to us about everything, so it's quite interesting. But I know some of the stuff that I see out there now is definitely ours.
Oh, okay, now how do you know that?
Well, I see things that look just like the B-1B bomber, only with the nose a little flatter in the front and one giant upright tail. The thing's huge. It's the size of the Concorde jets that we're flying.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't use jet or rocket engines. It uses some type of pulse drive or magnetic field. And that thing just cruises around 25,000 or so miles an hour on patrol. And I've seen them many, many times. I even have a few videos of them. And it's just amazing. And it's like an Earth-like, human-like craft. It's not a saucer.
Mm-hmm.
But I see saucers that I've seen up close and out. And just about 12 months ago, 10 months ago, some real, real close ones flew overhead, slightly out to my left, and just did a big horseshoe out around me and then back where they came from towards the ocean. And, I mean, we're talking 3,000, maybe 4,000 feet above me, like as if they were a small aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
But very, very big, very big. And you could even, when they were banking and turning, you could see the ribs, like as if the ridging or the braces on an umbrella. You could see them on the top, and you could see the dome of the craft. Just like a Hollywood flying saucer, only there were three big ones and three for real. And we've witnessed them coming in from deep space, getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and then shallow out and go overhead and around 800 miles up and drop into the ocean. You can see them drop right off into the darkness of the ocean. And then I've shown them to kids that were there, and his father and his son were there. I told them how you could see them sometimes coming in and where they would go towards and where I think there's an underwater base. And the kid says, oh, there's three. And I said, oh, that was pretty good. And I looked up and I said, oh, yeah, they're coming in. He goes, no, these are going out. And I looked at where he was looking, and there were three coming out, and mine were three coming in. And they were probably going to pass within 60 miles of each other. And it was like the change in the guard, three out and three coming in. And then and one more good one is that we're opening a branch down in San Diego and sky watching. And we were back up in the hills, and we had used up the film. And I told the guy, get another roll or get another thing. He said, oh, we won't use it all, and we did. He had it all out, and then here come three coming in, and they were at a cross angle, and you calculated it out, and it looked like they were coming in from over the United States and way up and going down. It looked like they were going to drop into the Sea of Cortez, probably down along San Felipe. And I've been down to San Felipe, because I heard about craft and stuff coming in and out down there, and I didn't get a film of it, but I got a view of it with the goggles, and there was a craft came out of the water down by San Felipe.
All right, we have to step away for break, and we'll pick up right there when we come back. Don't go away, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Ed Grimsley. He's the night vision guy, and Ed Grimsley was telling us about these craft that were coming in from deep space and going into the ocean. Now, Ed, you're in California. There have been quite a number of UFO reports, even recently, of UFO activity in Northern California. What's the deal with that? Why is there so much activity in Northern California, do you think?
Well, one of the things is I pretty much have an idea there's a good base underwater out about 400 or 500 miles out. Mm-hmm. And I think I found it through some techniques that I was using and calculating some craft coming in before. But there are a number of people getting goggles and listening and learning, and they're reporting the stuff, and there's some being seen without goggles, but there's a lot being seen with goggles. You probably know about Cliff High.
Yes.
On the what's the name of the show? The
was it Beyond Human or Just Beyond Human? Something like that.
Half Past Human or something.
Half Past
like that.
Human, that's it.
Yeah. But anyway, he called me, and I didn't know who he was quite a while back, and wanted to get goggles and asked me about it, and I told him how to find it and what to do, and got him a set of goggles ordered. And next thing you know, he's calling me back and saying, "Holy crap," he says, "they're everywhere, and I thought you were spreading it, but," he says, "everything you're saying is real, and I watch them do it, and it's unbelievable." And he's one of my best witnesses now, and when he talks about it and how it goes on. And Jay Widener is another one who got goggles from me, and he looks them over pretty good. He's a good friend of Jeff Rentz and goes on the Jeff Rentz show sometimes. And, you know, I got people that are quality people that I'm contacting. They're contacting me, and I'm showing them the stuff. And then they're saying, "Whoa, you're absolutely right." Well, the scary thing is there's a lot more that I could be saying and talk about, and I'm also right about it. And I worry for the world because, you know, kids, grandkids, people that are going to be wanting to use this planet for a long time. And there's a lot going on, and some of it's our stuff, but I think some of it is one alien fighting with one group, or we've joined the sides of one group against another group. And when you see those battles go on, or you see a big ship coming from the ocean direction, rising up and continue to go right out in space with a big trellis under it, carrying something like a fire bucket would be, or a storage container below it, then it makes you wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they hauling fish? Are they hauling minerals and gold? Are they hauling slaves? What are they doing? And
well, let me tell you something. I did a show on this. In fact, I've done two shows on this, but it was quite a while back. It was not any time really recent. But there is a weather satellite photograph that is a picture of the Pacific, and but it's the way it's situated is you can see the coast of California. This photograph shows that there is a pyramid structures. There are two or three pyramids on the bottom of the ocean in the Pacific.
Yeah.
And if you go from the very northern border of California, where that state line runs right out to the ocean,
yeah,
and continue straight out several hundred miles out there, I don't know how many, but it runs right, that line runs right through those pyramids.
Right.
And
I have seen that and told different people about it. And if you zoom it in and get us some close stuff, and then above the pyramids, there's even some areas that look like it's farmland laid out in sections. And
yeah, yeah, and that's the place. That's the place.
Yeah, well, that's where I suspect that we have some bases. I would love to get a big ship and get down there with some long lines and photo equipment. I'd probably get blown out of the water, but
yeah, I doubt you would be allowed to get anywhere near that.
Yeah, I think I'd probably run into some problems.
Mm-hmm. But it is.
If I'm trying to tell the truth here, you know, they'll talk about me. They'll say names and some crap that's completely untrue, and they'll never put their name on it. Or they'll never do anything like the guy that met the mayor in Calistoga.
By the way, has Mayor Jack Jingles, has he been reelected, or has he even been up for election?
I think he just got reelected, and he didn't win very much. But
has he ever apologized for what he said?
He tells me he didn't say anything, and it's a confusion thing, but I was the best man at this girl's wedding that was the waitress.
Yeah.
When he was sitting at the counter talking to the guy, and
mm-hmm.
she told me she didn't want to get involved. It was over and done, let it be, and that they might have just been talking out their hat, and I said, well, maybe the other end.
Well, the thing about it, we certainly we contacted the mayor's office. Some of our audience contacted the mayor's office. And we simply tried to get an answer to a simple question. Did you say it? We got absolutely the response I expected because he's a politician, and that is gutless silence.
Yeah.
Gutless silence. But and I hope he's listening tonight. And, look. If you are listening, Mayor, I don't dislike you, and I'm not trying to do anything other than state the facts here. And I hope you like the show and hope you listen to the show. But we expect better of politicians. I don't know why we do, because experience tells us not to, but we do expect politicians to be a little bit more. Have a little bit more spine and be a little bit more honest and truthful with us.
He's pretty well known for running his mouth a lot before he engages his brain. So,
well,
and he didn't even know that I had built the Little League field and donated it, all my work, and a lot of other people worked on it and donated theirs too. But he didn't even know that I had done any of the work because his father was here, and then he came and helped run his father's business. His father passed away, and then he took over that, and that's the way it is. But
I would just say, if he's if he made a mistake, do you know, Mayor? Americans can live with it if you say, look, I made a mistake. I said something I shouldn't have said. It was inaccurate, but hey, I thought at the time it was accurate, but it was a mistake. We can live with that. We can live with that. All right, now let's get back to these UFOs in the sky.
Let's get back to something that matters, because Mayor Jingles doesn't matter to me.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about these UFO wars.
A lot of idiots say good things and bad things.
All right, let's talk about the UFO wars.
Okay.
Over in England, there's a guy that also made a very serious mistake, and he did it repeatedly, and that was breaking into or getting into government computers here in the United States and some NASA computers.
Well, that might have had a little bit to do with me saying that there's wars and all this is going on, because I think he talked to me one night and said, "Are you sure? Do you believe this and that?" And I go, "Yeah, they're definitely true." And he said, "Well..."
We're talking about Gary McKinnon.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you've talked with Gary McKinnon?
The voice that talked to me didn't say his name. Uh-huh. But he's from England, and he said he wanted to find out the truth. And then I guess he found it out, got covered, caught. And I guess through Greg Gould, who interviewed me in Laughlin at a conference I talked at, I basically told the world that it might have been wrong to break in, but that I think that the world should give him an award because he caught the government lying and scamming, and he found out the truth.
Now, all right, we have to take a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. And my sincere sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. We're talking with Ed Grimsley. He is the night vision guy. And he is the grandfather of the use of night vision equipment to view and to research UFOs. So we were talking about, when we went away for break, Ed, we were talking about Gary McKinnon. You got a call one night. He didn't say his name, but he was from England. And you said he wanted to know if these things were true. Did he tell you anything else that made you think he might be Gary McKinnon?
Well, I've heard his voice on interviews and things after. And some of the questions he asked me, well, did I really think the government had been lying to us, and that he suspected that we had a fleet, and I told him I'm real sure that we did. And I told him that the people I had talked to had told me basically we had about 3,000 spacecraft in our
wow.
fleet, and that... that's around the Earth and here, and that we also had craft on station out in space that can fly all around out there at ease and go to Mars and the Moon and other planets and explore, and they can do it at ease with the technology that they have.
And okay, so now you were told this information by someone else, right?
Yeah, I have a friend that talks to me once in a while, and he's older than I am, and tells me that he used to fly back-engineered spacecraft and been in many battles in deep space, and when he dies, he basically will let me give out enough information that they'll even figure out who he is, but right now, any of his retirement and his family, basically, he wants to protect them, and he loves the idea of people saying, hey, the government's lying and there's spacecraft out there and everything, because that's just putting it closer. He's lost a lot of friends and comrades in different battles that doesn't even get a mention. They're not even a war hero. They didn't even defend their country. They just, they disappeared someplace or they died in battle, and or supposedly maybe they died in an aircraft someplace, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he basically would like to get the whole truth out there, and he says that the whole truth is pretty scary, but we've been being lied to ever since the government could move their mouth.
I think it was Thomas Jefferson, but I could be wrong. But one of those founding fathers said that politics and making sausage have much in common, and it's better for the common person not to see either one happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of baloney in both.
Yeah. I want to open up the telephone lines for our audience to participate if they would like to do so. So, folks, if you got your pencil and paper ready, let me give you the telephone numbers. And here we go. The main number.
Could I put in something real quick here?
Well, okay.
All right. Listen, you know, we tried to sell some movies and get you home to your family in Thailand. And we didn't raise up enough there, and with all the bills that the station gets, it kind of swallowed it up. But I'd like to help you get home this near this Christmas or that, and it's a very expensive thing. It's $2,000-$3,000. But what I would like to do is I've got an extra $1,000 that I'll take out of my account, and I'll put it towards you going. If we can get the members of the audience and your people to help, I would dearly love to see your six-year-old son hold his dad and go fishing with him for a vacation and do that, because it just, seeing the pictures of your son and hearing you talk to him sometimes, it just makes me angry that you haven't been able to get home and do that. And I think a good Christmas would be for me to see you on your way home, and I can raise up $1,000 and I'll donate that to you, and I'd like your audience to come in and donate and match me, and I'd like to have your son in your arms for these holidays or shortly near. Six-year-old needs to see his dad more. And you haven't made it for 4 years because this show, and you're dedicating this show and your life to what is going on for your peers. And I just think that they ought to help out and get you a Christmas time or get you some time with your kids, because it's not rough trying to keep the show afloat. And the best Christmas present I could have is to have you over there with your son for a couple of weeks.
I don't know.
And you better take me up on it before I spend it.
I don't know what to say. I appreciate it.
If we can get people that are listening to put something in or help match it, and we can raise some money, or maybe I'll go out and sell something I have, or like a pickup or some other stuff I don't need. Maybe I can make up the difference between what the audience doesn't and that. But right now I'm saying $1,000 to your ticket right now, and I want to get you over there and be with your kid. Father and son, all that needs to be. If their listeners are hearing this, well, get up, check and see if there's anything in your wallet you want to donate. because Kevin is a good guy and he dedicates his life to this show, and it's costing him and his son and a lot of moments. So how about giving him a few moments and help out, okay?
Ed, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I really do.
All right, and if I had more right now, you'd be on your way already.
Well, I appreciate it. I don't know what else to say.
Well,
let me give the.
Do is have you do a couple of shows from over there. Take your computer and do a couple of shows from over there, and talk to us about Thailand and fill us in on some things, and then we'll
I'd love to do that.
We'll get a live report.
I would love to do that. Let me give the telephone number out. Wow. All right, folks. The telephone number, and it works all over the world. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Toll free here in the USA and Canada. The number is 888-223-4599. Again, 888-223-4599. And to those of you who are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, the past couple of nights, the flash message link has not been showing on the site, and I apologize for that. It is there now, and so if you're outside of the USA or you're outside of Canada, you can use the flash message feature. Now, the reason I have flash message for outside the USA and Canada is because I don't have a toll-free number for you if you're outside of the USA and Canada. If you're in the USA or Canada, please use the telephones. Because we'll even pay for the call. If you call us on the toll-free line, you need us to pay for the call, that's the way to do it. But outside, we don't have a toll-free number. So you can use the flash message option. You go to my website and scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show. And to the right of it, you'll see the link that says flash message. And you can just, if you're outside of the USA or Canada, you just type in your question or comment right there. And we will read it on the air and get Ed to respond to it. But you may have some questions for Ed. Maybe you've been thinking about, you know, you'd like to get some night vision goggles, but you don't know what kind to get. Maybe you're just beginning to sort of think about doing this night vision Skywatch stuff, and you don't even know what price ranges these things run in. This is a guy that knows all the answers. Maybe you have experienced this yourself. You've seen these UFOs moving about up there with the naked eye. Maybe you've seen this with night vision, and you've experienced it yourself. And we'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear your accounts of what you have seen. And maybe with a naked eye, maybe with night vision, but I really would like to hear what you have seen. And the telephone number, again, is 623-444-5889. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, my name is Cindy, calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi. Shalom, Kevin and Ed. I wanted to call. I tried to call in your number earlier today, Kevin, because we have not been able to email you from all four of your email listener comment, member support, suggestion, or media inquiry. They will not download correctly.
Okay, maybe they have been tampered with. I will upload
exactly
fresh copies of those. Thanks for letting me know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, when you mentioned technical gremlins at the top of the show, I thought, well, this is my cue. I want to make sure and call in because I called in. I had a message to give you today, urgent, and so I called and left it on your voice message, along with the fact that I was totally unable, and I don't think it's just me. blocked, totally blocked, that they're messing with you, and we were blocked from being able to email you in all four windows.
I've tried to get him a lot of times and find out that not only playing games, but they're making it act like as if it doesn't exist. And, well, I guess the shadow government is playing in the shadows pretty heavy because they do a lot of stuff to me as well. In fact, I'm wondering why we can still even hear each other on this show, because they usually static us and do everything they can.
Yeah, this is the best connection we've ever had. But, you know, Cindy and Ed both, you know, it just proves one thing, and that is when they mess with this show, it proves we're really a burr under someone's saddle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we must be really telling the truth on them, and otherwise they wouldn't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we know that you love the truth, Kevin, and we know that he loves you, and you're all in our hearts and prayers, and no weapon formed against any of us is going to prosper, okay? So what I wanted to share and mention to y'all is, you know, the concept of good UFOs versus evil. Have you, I'm sure you have, Kevin, and I don't know about you, Ed. We're just kind of new to getting to know y'all on Kevin's show here. Read the Bill Cooper and Phil Schneider reports and videos.
Well, I have, yes. And I've read Bill Cooper's book, Behold a Pale Horse. Have you read that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read that back when it first came out. And
I know about the work, mm-hmm. and I know what those two people meant. And I believe they were 100% truth. And I believe they got taken out deliberately. They were murdered. Mm-hmm. And I believe that everything that the police said in that report about Bill Cooper was a lie. He was a one-legged Vietnam vet. And how could he be running and firing backwards?
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing being, and also Linda Moulton Howe has on her website an article about when Eisenhower was president, there were, you know, meetings going on with the different aliens between him and them, as well with Truman, mm-hmm. and also that contracts and negotiations were made, and there were different types of aliens at that time, and negotiating, some saying go for it, the other one saying warning, don't deal with these evil ones. And it's our belief and understanding that definitely there are wars going on. In the book in the Bible, in the prophet Daniel, he mentions watchers, so that there are good ones, along with Malachim is the Hebrew word for good angels, warring in the heavenlies with the evil ones. And as we understand, the greys and the reptilians are definitely on the sleaze side of the coin and the kingdom, so they're in the wrong one, and that's the good versus evil factions that are going on even as we speak, you know, between like you said, you know, good and evil, that there are different you know, entities for two different kingdoms that we believe in. But
well, Cindy, let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone out in at nighttime with night vision equipment and just looked up into the sky and seen these UFOs? Have you ever had the chance to do that?
Us?
Uh-huh.
No, my husband Doug called in and talked with you, Kevin, a couple weeks back when you had Jeff Woolwine on the show.
Uh-huh.
His name's Doug, and he's the one told you that we went out in the evening and looked up after we heard, what was his name on your show? It has the ranch in Washington, Gilliland?
Yeah, Gilliland. Uh-huh.
Yeah, once we heard him on your show, and we went out by the pool and looked up, and sure enough, we saw they looked like stars in a triangle formation, and they started doing all these little, you know, gyrations up there that no craft we are aware of could be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
That was one night, and then a couple nights, and this was like late September, and then a couple nights after that, we were seeing like all kinds of triangle formations, like, you know, doing little ditties up there in the sky. And then another night we were out when there was a cloud cover, and we saw white orb lights. and they were doing like a half moon circle back and forth. And my husband is at one end of the pool, and I was at the other, and we'd go back and forth. There was like one going back and forth like a pendulum over both of us at both ends of the pool. And, we'd say, are you seeing this or not? So, I mean, we called in, and Doug called in when we heard Mr. Woolwine was on there to let you know, ground control to Major Tom, we're seeing him too.
Well, you're in the Phoenix area, right?
There is sanity in the truth. There is sanity in the truth, and there is insanity in the lies. And so we know that we're getting nothing but lies from the schmooze control.
Yeah.
The government is all. Matter of fact, it's under understanding that the aliens, the Greys and the Reptilians, part of their contractual agreements with Presidents Truman and Eisenhower was secrecy, that they weren't supposed to tell anybody.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're in a good place being in the Phoenix area. You're in a good place to see a lot of stuff. Lots of stuff.
My grandfather was Mamie Eisenhower's first cousin. And my grandfather, when we talked about how I had saw them in 61, my grandfather opened up and told me that Mamie had told him that there were aliens and about Roswell, and that there was different types, and some of them were human looking like us and some were alien. And my grandfather and her talked for hours on the phone. They used to be soulmates as kids. And recently, in the last year or so, Lauren Eisenhower, she and I have met and talked and that. And we're not any close cousins or anything like that, because we're probably like fifth or sixth removed. But the things that she knew from Eisenhower's thing and the things that I knew and what my grandfather said, we're not confused. We're not lying. Those things happened.
Yeah. All right, Cindy, I want to thank you for the call. Very interesting stuff. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. 888-223-4599 if you need to call me toll-free. And, of course, we have the flash message option open for those who are outside of the USA and outside of Canada. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. The first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. It's Cindy again. I don't know if I got cut off by them or by you.
No, I did it.
Okay.
We have a 3-minute limit, and we had gone to 8. I'd been pushing the button. And
okay. I just wanted to say that we are very thankful for what y'all are doing and speaking out. Everybody else in the world can come out of the closet and say all these lies all over the earth all the time, and it's time we all unite as one in truth. And
okay.
Blow the trumpet in Zion.
All right. Thanks,
all right,
Cindy.
Thank you so much. And, Kevin, please check your voice message.
Okay, will do.
Thank you. God bless y'all.
Bye-bye. All right, 623-444-5889 and 888-223-4599. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Bill from Oklahoma.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, Ed, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Hey, I was just wondering, it's quite interesting if we do have a fleet, you know, ourselves or multiple governments of the world that have fleets. And I was just wondering, if we do have fleets, where do you think we get all the people to man that? I mean, it's so secret. I mean, do they have like a secret civilization somewhere too, here on Earth, or maybe on a colony on the moon or something like that?
Well, there is a civilization on Mars and other planets as well. But there's pilots that have been trained, and probably some of the fighter pilots and the sharp ones in their class, and they basically go to secrecy way up there. There's a pilot that was tried to quit, and basically he got framed for murder, and his wife is Joanne Richards, and his name is Mark Richards. He's in prison for life, and basically I'm involved with her to try to get him out of prison. He can't talk because of his oath with the U.S., but before that, his father was the head of the International Space Fleet, and his father took Admiral Nimitz's place, and they also had, his grandfather had actually did work on what was called the gravitic drive, and those people know and have the knowledge and are sworn to it. He's spending his life in prison because he quit, and they said, no, you don't quit us. So his friend got murdered with a screwdriver. He wasn't even there.
All right, we have to step away for a break. Bill, does that take care of it for you, or do you want to hang on through the break?
That takes care of it for me. The rest off there.
All right, thanks much. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Ed Grimsley. Ed, we have a caller online, so let's go straight to the phone. Caller, your first name, and where are you calling from?
I can barely hear, but I'm going to ask Ed, can I say something in Kevin's realm real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
By the way, I contacted the mayor that was, like, mean to you, and he ducked and ran, and I did that for you, and he was a dork. Anyways, I wanted to say one thing for Kevin's side.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I haven't done much in anything, but, like, I was like, you going to screw with Ed? All right, I'll take you out. And I went, like, I went against the mayor, and the mayor, like, ran, and the secretary was like, he's not here. And I'm like, that's what I thought. Anyways, I wanted to say one thing about Kevin.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. I can barely hear. My thing was, he keeps saying 23 cents a day become a member, and that is, like, not very smart, because what it comes out to is $6.95 a month. And even if it was like $8.95 a month, that's less than one movie ticket, and I have a problem with that. I'm starting to hate a lot of people listening, and I have a reason, because at one time Indy said we have over 1 million viewers, and I know less than 200 people are members. That is sick. Kevin,
well, no, let me correct that.
Anybody you've ever seen in your life.
Okay, let me correct that. There are just over 600 members. But of the 600, there are about 200 that are actively paying for membership because of the economic hard times.
Yeah, I understand that, but can I say something?
Yeah.
I just want to say that you're sleeping on the floor, and you were a cop for 25 years and did your job. You were in, like, 8 different countries defending America and, like, undercover and did this and that. You can look at somebody that has had beer or anything else and analyze things with CIA agents, and you've had, like, you've had astronauts on the show, all these things, and people won't put $6.95 a month. You should be ashamed of yourself, and I'm going to leave it at that. You better join up, and if you don't and we're gone, you are a contributor for not paying $6.95 a month. Thank you.
Okay, that's pretty
tough. I agree with that, but a lot of people have hardships.
They do.
And I got lucky, and I got some extra money in my pocket, and that's why I want to help Kevin to get home to see his kid. The man's doing an awesome job, and he needs to see his son. His son's 6 years old and hasn't seen his dad for 4 years. So
that's true.
I would hope that some of the people that aren't members and are members or whatever they are, kick in some mileage, kick in some something to help so we can raise enough money to get Kevin home for the holidays.
Ed, I really appreciate what you're doing. I really do. But I want to make it clear to everyone, that's totally your initiative. I didn't put you up to this.
Well, you know you couldn't put me up to anything I didn't want to do.
That's true. I know that.
Hard head for nothing.
I know that. 623-444-5889. That's the number to call. If you need to call me toll free, you can do that. You can call me at 888-223-4599. If you are in any country other than the USA or Canada, you can call the main number and we would love to hear from you. Or you can use the flash message option on my website by simply going over to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and on the right side of that picture, you'll see the link. All right. Let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Oh, hi, Kevin. It's Heidi calling from Manitoba.
Hello, Heidi.
Hello there, Kevin. Hello, Ed.
Yeah,
I'm really enjoying the show tonight. And Ed, I agree with you. We need to send Kevin back to Thailand to spend some time there with his family and that. So I'm also donating, and the donation has already been sent from here, $50. And I hope other people out there will match at least what I'm doing. And by the way, Kevin, your email is working just fine.
It's working for you. Okay. Well, I don't know.
Thank you, young lady, because I appreciate you kicking in to help, because we need to get the guy home, because I know his kid needs to see him, and I know that would be the best present I could get, just to send him and have his son and them together, spend a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we can fix it up to where he can actually do some of the show from right there. And, you know, that's just what we need to do. It's the spirit of giving, and I think it's time to start giving.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. That's a great idea, Ed. I'm glad you mentioned it. And looking forward to one of these times being able to attend one of your Skywatch conferences and that, so...
Heidi, I want to thank you as well.
All the best to both of you.
Okay, and thank you so much. I appreciate it.
What area are you from?
What area am I from? I'm from Manitoba. Canada.
Very good. Yeah.
All right, Heidi, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. 623-444-5889. That would be the number to call. That'll get you right into the studio. And toll free, of course, 888-223-4599. Checking the flash message board, I've got one from Rick in Australia who wants to know how much are these night vision goggles that are your line of night vision goggles. And can they be shipped to Australia?
Yeah, they can be shipped to Australia. I cannot use the military technology of the PVS-7s or the U.S. military ones, but I have a combination of other technology that can be shipped over there.
And how much is it?
Well, it's probably going to run... about $3,800,
$3,900. Okay.
U.S. And, you know, there are cheaper models for over here, but you have to pay more to have that type of tube put together so that it can be shipped, and it can't even be in a housing made in the U.S. by the government's contract. So we have sent to Canada, England, and Australia already. So,
okay. Well, there you go, Rick. There's your answer. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Mark from Wisconsin.
Hello, Mark.
Hey.
How you doing?
I just wanted to say, I think what you're doing for Kevin here is just awesome. You know, trying to send him home. So what I'm going to do is donate $250 towards that trip myself.
Thank you.
I would love that, and I'll tell you what, when you do and that, let me know. I'll send you one of my movies. And, you know, we just got to let the people know that, you know, it's time. The man has dedicated his life, and we listen to him, and a lot of people can't afford to pay the show and get the bills paid. And he's sitting there struggling to keep ends meet and be there for his people. And I think it's now it's time for some of the people to be there for him. And I'm not a rich man, but I'm, like I said, I'll put in $1,000. And if other people can help out, because it's going to cost a couple of $1,000 to get him over there, because the airfare is one thing and the taxes, and then you have to eat. So, you know, it's not going to be cheap. But I want to tell you that is real good of you, and I thank you. And I know Kevin will, too.
I'll have that money sent to Kevin tonight yet.
All right, thank you very much. And my son thanks you, and my wife thanks you. I appreciate it. Thanks,
his
Mark.
Little boy, we got to put it together so we can get his little boy fishing there.
Yeah. Well, since you're doing all this talking about me seeing my little boy, and I certainly appreciate it, let me share with those who are watching on television my little boy. That, if you're watching our TV channel, that is my son. That is Derek Aaron Smith, and he is fully Thai. Well, he's half American, half Thai, but he speaks Thai as his main language. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, my name is Stephen. I'm from Rogers, Arkansas.
Hello, Stephen from Arkansas. How are you this evening?
I'm just fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Stephen, are you a first-time caller?
Yeah, I am, actually.
Let's play some applause. Yeah, we always play applause for the first-time callers.
There you go. That broke the ice, huh?
Do what?
Yeah, that certainly did.
Just relax and talk like you were talking to us at the table, and just
sure.
Let her go.
Sure. I guess you could tell I was a little nervous. Hey, you're talking
yeah.
about, like, UF wars and stuff, right? Right, UF wars and stuff?
UFO wars?
Yeah. Have you ever read an oldie book called The Celestine Prophecy?
No, I haven't. I haven't read a lot of books and magazines and things because I read very little. When I was in the military, I got hurt pretty bad, and I had some head injuries. I was blind for a few days, and when I came to and everything was there, I had to learn to read and write over again. And I didn't do that good a job of it.
Oh. Well, there's, I read this book called The Celestine Prophecy. I've read it twice. I loved it so much. And there's like five books, and I read the first one twice. And they talk about you know how, ever seen like sci-fi and how sometimes humans are afraid of aliens and things like that? I think it has to do with the four control dramas in this book called Pour Me a Loaf. Those are the two passive ones. And then you have, like, Intimidator and Interrogator. And these are the last two are the aggressive types. And the book goes on to say there's ways to get through the fear, through the control drama, and it's all about manipulation. Trying to steal energy was one of the key things of the encounters between not just aliens and humans, but also like humans on humans, that the Celestine Prophecy said that there would be a time when resources were scarce. They didn't say how much, how little, how big, or whatever, but they did say there'd be some scarcity, and that this this would cause the four control dramas to kind of come alive and be seen and be kind of experienced. And I thought, you know, this might be some type of tip. If you go to the internet, I don't know how well you can read or not, but if you look up the website selfsteamvision.org or .com, they have the insights in this book about the four control dramas.
Okay, Stephen, we have a break taking over. Do you want to hang on through the break?
Okay.
Yeah, just hang on. We'll get back to you right after the break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Ed Grimsley, and Ed and I were talking with Stephen from Arkansas. Stephen, are you still with us?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you were telling us about the Celestine Prophecy, and we had to cut you off in mid-sentence. I want to give you a chance to wrap up your thought.
I'm sorry, what was that last comment?
I just want to give you the opportunity to wrap up your thought.
Oh.
Just finish it off.
Just thought I thought it would be great to give, like, some type of view on these alien wars that, you know, you have conflict, and there's a conflict resolution to it all. There truly is. And it's found in a book called The Celestine Prophecy. It's about energy. It's like aura energy and energy from, they say to get it from the universe. Like if you find yourself in a controlled drama, it's like going out into nature and you bond with the trees and you try to kind of connect to the universal energy, not just stealing it from a human subconsciously. I don't want to hog up it.
Okay.
No, well, I understand what you're saying because I've tried to take that look at a lot of it, but when you figure out that Alexander the Great, they were fighting above him, and Nuremberg in 1561, they were fighting above him, and they were fighting above me in the Sierras in 1961, and in 2010... down in New Mexico or Mexico City, they're still fighting. So that's way out there in space, and so whoever's been fighting, it's a long going thing, and I don't know if it's good against evil or if it's the guys with the white hats or the black hats or what, but I don't think it's going to stop real sudden. Like I think that it's going to have a lot of work and a lot of time.
Stephen, I want to thank you for the call. Celestine Prophecy, excellent, excellent. I did read Celestine Prophecy, but it was a long time ago. We have time for one quick call, if it comes in like right now, because we're on final approach. That means that we are headed towards the end of the show. But the telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll-free in the USA and Canada at 888-223-4599. Ed, you spend a great deal of your time, I guess almost all of your time, promoting these the use of night vision, so that people can see what's going on up there. Hold conferences and you hold sky watches. Yeah, you hold conferences and sky watches. But here's my question. Is it important for people to see what's going on up there?
Well, people want to know the truth. And if you really want to know the truth, how else? I mean, I'll tell you the truth and I'll show it to you. And a number of radio show people, a number of political people, I've taken them out. I've taken Hollywood movie stars out.
You've taken rock stars out too, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Russian scientist that came over here, and I showed him, and he was just amazed. He said he's big time in his government, and nobody ever told him about it. He says he was going to go back and shake some people up.
Well, you know, now that people have the availability of night vision, and you know, I mean, it's available to the general public. Of course, the cheap models simply don't have what it takes to see this very clearly, or
right.
to see it
don't
at all.
Waste
sometimes
your money on a cheap model because you're just flushing it. You know,
mm-hmm.
just get something and contact me and. I'll try to get you something that's economical if you can't afford much. And if you can't afford it and don't get it, maybe get some other people to go in with you. And if you get the right stuff, you're going to see it.
Well, we've had callers, when you've been on the show before, we've had callers from various places around the United States and Canada who are using night vision as a result of hearing you, and they called in and said, it's absolutely true. We see it.
Yeah. It's for real, and I don't know if the government's ever going to admit to it or if we just got to squeeze it out of them. But, you know, what I did, I had my doubts on if it would do any good to tell the world. But it has been working, and telling the world it's working, and I'm actually happy about it. People are listening and telling other people, and it's amazing. I really feel good about telling it because it's the truth, and to see it, it's amazing. Now, there's times when you'll see a satellite and a few craft, but there's times when you see so much, it's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
A group flew me to Florida, and we did one night on the beach, and they got to see some pretty stuff, and one that was moving so fast you could hardly keep up with him, and he zigzagged, and another one out over the swamps that had a green color, and whatever this green thing was, it was a form of energy. And that thing went in squirts. And, I mean, every day I think I've seen it all. And then, bam, there'll be a night that something will happen like that. But on this thing with this me and putting up my money and other people are putting in some, I hope that your people will be putting it in. And if not tonight, if we don't raise enough, then tomorrow night or the next and go on, I'd like to call in again and talk about it. If it's okay with you, maybe just a couple of moments of it. But the way I estimated and got some prices on flight tickets, taxes, and stuff like that, we're going to need to come up with at least $2,000 to just, that'll be the bare minimum of it. But anything that we can raise, because it's time for you to get home, have a break. You can still do your show, do it through the internet thing, and, you know, the planet ain't getting any better, so we need to get you home. You agree?
I agree. I do agree. Thank you so much, and I have to tell you, it sort of takes my breath away, but, you know, honestly, I've met some of the greatest people in the world through this show. And I don't mean that I'm not talking about just the big names out there in UFO. I mean, you know, our audience, some of the greatest people I've ever met. I've met them through this show, and they're people that just listen to the show and call in and send me email, and it's absolutely like having a family. It really is. And Ed, I really appreciate what you're doing for me.
Well, you know, having you come out to our movie premiere and going to my conference and talking and that, the Kevin Smith I've got to know is a pretty good guy. You're not very good looking, but you're still a pretty nice guy.
Well, okay, I'll take that. I have a face made for radio.
Yeah.
Ed, thank you for being with us this evening. We've run out of time. Stay on the line with me, though. I want to talk with you. Folks, that's it. That's a wrap for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.